Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show, coming from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. With us, we have Luke Smith, the man, the myth, the legend.
Oh, now, now.
All right, Luke. Last time we were talking about the Buck Grunt Inn.
Yeah, that's my dad's stand that I built for him, as we talked about. This is going to be the last year for the Buck Grunt Inn. I don't believe I mentioned that. In its location that it sits right now, we're going to move it closer to the house for better access for the young grandchildren that we're starting to have come to our family. And where we could walk out of the house, walk a minimal distance, hunt in air quotes from there, even though we do see deer back there. And when they get tired or had enough, then Nana can come take the babies and have her fun with them. And I can continue to hunt there or move to a different location. But we're going to remodel it so we can have a lot of future generations and more memories made out of it, and just make the windows better, make the feel inside just a little better. I mean, it's rough, it's primitive, and that's the way it started out, and that's the way it stayed. But we're going to change it up just a little bit. And then in the location of the Buck Grunt Inn now, because it's a good spot, we're going to go more to the 2003s and put an elevated bought and blind up there that we hope last us for many generations to come to. But just get a better field of view and be 10 foot off the ground instead of the 3 foot trailer height that the Buck Grunt Inn is on now. And that will be called the Buck Grunt Inn 2. And I'm sure it'll make a lot of memories for a lot of people, just like the first one has.
Well, with that, I'd like to call this an ode to goat.
Well, I thank you. My pop, my dad, and my father, I called him a lot of things. Some things we can't say here now at times, but we had our ups and our downs, and mostly our ups. And the last 20 years of both of our lives, I think we were as good of friends as we've ever had with each other, you know. And a lot of hunting memories, a lot of outdoor memories. We talked about mushroom hunting this past spring, you and I, and as an outdoor show, I think that's a passion for a lot of people. And it was him. We called him the Mushroom King, and he really was. I mean, he knew the trees. He knew he'd walk nice and slow. He'd look over 20 feet and say, "Go pick that one over there." And you'd be, "What are you talking about?" And you'd walk over there and there'd be a mushroom there. And you were like, "How did you do that?" But he could do it. One of my favorite memories of mushrooming was he and a wonderful character, Apple Creek John Price, who lived in the bottoms between Eldred and Hillview, had a place on the Sni over on the Mississippi. And we went over there, Dad kept me out of school that day. And we went over to the Mississippi and went mushrooming and stayed all night and had a heck of a day mushrooming and brought back a whole John boat full of burlap bag fulls of mushrooms. I don't know how many pounds, but I seem to remember it was somewhere between 5 and 7 of the big burlap bag fulls of mushrooms.
Wow.
More than I've ever seen then or since. And we stopped back in Eldred on the way back, and they had a cocktail, and I think I played a game of pool. I believe I was in 7th grade at the time, because my science teacher the next day was my homeroom teacher, Mr. Mattis, and he says, "Well, where were you?" And I said, "Well, I was on a field trip." He says, "Well, explain more. What'd you see?" So I told him, you know, wood duck in a tree and squirrels and deer here and there and wildflowers. And we found all these mushrooms, and being the science teacher and an outdoorsman himself, I got excused that day, just, and he was just tickled pink. He made me tell him more stories later, you know, in private. But we had a heck of a day, and we gave every one of those mushrooms away. And I questioned that as a 12, 13-year-old. And Dad says, son, we'll find more, and we'll find them away from the river bottoms. He says, some people don't mind the sand, but it kind of bothers me. He had false teeth all of his life. And he says, I just assumed that we'll get ours, and we'll just give these away. And we gave every one of them away. I don't know, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 pounds. I don't know how much it was. It was a lot, but a wonderful memory and a wonderful day. And that's the way my father was. He would give, even though we didn't have a lot, but it didn't take a lot, you know. And friends and family and just living life is more important than having things a lot of times, you know. Many deer hunting stories of with Dad, and one of my favorites was the buck ground end was on a different property than mine. I think that about the next year it got moved to my house because Brandon passed away, unfortunately, great guy, and it was on his farm, and we moved it. But he killed a nice 10 point, a real nice one. It's mounted in his shed right now. But pulled up to my farm, and I'm hunting, and I just shot a 10 point, and I knew it wasn't a direct, you know, kill at that minute. So I'd walked away and was walking out, and he come up and he stand by his truck, just doing it good. And I'm like, yeah, I just shot a nice one. He says, yeah, I wish I had to see a nice one. And he's sitting there leaning on his truck, and that baby's in his truck, you know. Long story short, both deer were almost mirror image of each other.
Really?
And we went back and got mine. And I said, well, I'm going to go down to the end of the draw and slip around this way, and you walk in here where I shot. And he knew where I shot because I showed him. Well, he jumped him up, and that deer just ran to me on a string, and I dropped him then, and we got him. And they were just almost twins, and it was just neat. He had the money to mount his, and I didn't. So his is on the wall. Mine's, I have the antlers, of course, but I'll show you next time you come to the house. I'll show you that deer.
So. All right. Is that hanging in the shack?
Yes.
In the shed?
Yes.
Okay. Well, like I said, that's a heck of a wall with a lot of stories.
Yeah. Every deer has its story, as you well know. And
yeah.
And I know most of them. A few that I kind of think, well, where'd that, and I can't quite put my finger on it. I could look back at some old pictures, and I could, cause we tried to take a Polaroid or something of every deer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the medium size to almost really nice deer or early bow deer and some shotgun. And then, I would have to say probably the bulk of the biggest deer are shotgun deer, which, I wish that was different. I enjoy the bow hunting so much, and the solitude and the individualness of that and the close range of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, life takes over sometimes, and you don't have that dedicated time to you need to put in to be really successful.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you would maybe go to an outfitter such as yourself and such as I, that we're doing your scouting for you and trying to line you up and have you have success. That being said, I'm proud of everyone I've shot though.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, absolutely. So it's gotta be, I don't know if you put it into perspective, but it's gotta be a little bit of an interesting, I don't know, life circumstance or situation to be in an environment, right? The buck run in one, the buck run in two, coming soon. Four generations.
Yes. I wish I'd had a grandson just a little bit earlier, boys. but they never got to hunt with Pomp, but they get, they do have a few picture memories they'll be able to have and things like that. And then the stories are going to, I mean, the part of the buck grunt in was some of the noises that came out of that thing. And he said, he's just grunting them in. I'll let you use your imagination. And, and oftentimes it seemed to work, you know? So, but the other stories of in the last few years of Jarrett, again, cause he, would often, he had a tendency to want to hunt close to Pop, which was really sweet in its own way, you know, but, he was in the closest stand, that we would use for gun hunting, you know, far enough away, but close enough, to Dad. And he shot a pretty good deer, and he called Dad on the phone, and Dad went to go look at it, and he pulled out of there in his truck at 45 minutes for prime time and just drove his truck down through the field and whipped through there at 40 mile an hour and said he saw the deer and whipped around. Deer said, I'm afraid he's going to hit me. I don't know if he saw it or not, but, and then he just went on home. He had his fun sitting and he is ready to go. So little things like that, always bring a chuckle and a smile. And that's what hunting's about, is family and friends and passing along and keeping some traditions and changing some others, you know. And I mean, we built, and I hearkened on this earlier, many, many, many wooden homemade deer stands in the trees and in the a few on trailers and things. And some of them are still out there, you know, because you put 8-inch nails into the tree. And I'm sorry if to have done that to the tree, you know, if it offends anybody, I apologize. But most of them have popped out and are gone. But occasionally you'll walk by one and say, well, I built that, you know, I made that for him. We use that a lot and it's good.
Nice. Well, as we're talking about, you know, passing on to generation and then changing some of the other things, let's take a break, hear a word from our sponsors and come back to that.
Very good.
Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. With me, I have one of our fantastic, wonderful, and I guess supreme guides, Mr. Luke Smith.
Oh, you flatter me, Aaron. And,
we were talking about, you know, basically with hunting, the outdoors, fishing, whatever your hobby be, it's an opportunity to pass on to a generation and then at times make changes to, you know, continue the sport, continue the opportunity to create memories, but maybe even do something a little different.
Yeah, on that different, you made me think of this. We have never done cameras. We started it about 3 years ago. One of my boys, and I can't remember which one, purchased a couple, and we put them out, and there weren't cell cams or anything. So, you know, you'd have to go check them, and I'm like, I don't like intruding on my areas. I've never liked that. I said, so whenever we go and hunt this stand here, we'll switch the cart out on this one, and whenever we go hunt this on the other one. And we did that for a little while, and Dad was enthralled with it. He just loved seeing the pictures that we would get, even if, you know, buck, fawn, didn't matter what it was, squirrel, coon. And then at the last couple years, we went to some cell cams so we could get them directly to our phones. And he really liked to see that too. And I do too. It's one of the highlights of my morning to wake up and see the new pictures. Mm-hmm. And it's also kind of a curse because you know what you have and you think you know what it's doing, and then you try to hunt it, and then sometimes it goes out the window because the deer have their own minds, you know. But Dad really liked that change. What kind of deer are you seeing over by the buck run? He'd say, you know, and so we'd tell him, and sometimes we would just tell him the deer on the other side of the property was over there too. But it kept him happy, and it kept us happy, and we are able to usually get a target deer out of those pictures. So that's kind of nice too. So I don't know if the cellular cams didn't come around. I don't know if I'd have kept doing the cameras because of the, you didn't know about the deer on the older cameras until you check the SD card, and it may be 3-4 weeks after the fact or whatever.
Right.
But I think the cellular cams are a game changer, you know, that way. So, fair chase. I believe so. I mean, they're still in control. You just have to be in the right place. So,
right. Let me ask this. What is one thing that you learned from goat hunting wise that you're going to make sure that your grandkids
don't move?
Okay.
Beast motion is the worst thing. He was not as worried about scent. He was not as worried about a little bit of banging around here and there, but he always, you know, if they're, you got to be stealthy in how you do things. I mean, squirrel hunting, he had walked 2 steps, he'd stop for 7, 8, 10 minutes, watch the trees, watch the, listen, look, walk 2 or 3 steps, stop for 7, 8 minutes, and usually didn't go very far, and he could limit out, you know. Lost art with some small game hunting is not near what it was 20, 30 years ago, you know.
We need some squirrel hunters out there.
We do need, and some more coon hunters again too. Yeah. But, yeah, just the motion thing I think was the biggest thing. And back to the wing shooting from the first time we talked, you know, just flow your gun with the flight of the bird. You know, you don't point and shoot, you shoot, you move and you shoot, you know. And it's an art to all that stuff. But as far as deer hunting, I mean, if I had anything I could tell somebody, just every time you move, do it with a purpose and think about it. If you go to scratch your nose, take your hand up your stomach and your chest really slow, and then scratch your nose. Don't just go like this and bring it over the side of your shoulder, and something's going to see you, you know? So,
yeah, sometimes I feel like there's things that are superstition and sometimes there are not, but when we're in the stand, you know, when I'm in the stand filming or with someone else and they're talking with their hands, I'm always, hey, stop talking with your hands. Yeah. I don't like the movement out there.
Yeah, I think that, and you don't even know it a lot of the times, bust you and you don't even know it happened, but they pick you off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, the other probably biggest thing that he taught me was the patience. I mean, you just, you know, nothing's guaranteed when you're hunting. I mean, that's why they call it hunting. It's not shooting, right? Unless you go to a fence and they bring one to you. But I don't think any of us do that around here. But you just have to have patience, and you have to, you know, if you're happy with what comes by, you try to take it and you do your best to do it quick and ethically. And if not, you pass and you'd be happy with that. You know, you saw a wonder of nature.
Right. So, right.
I do a lot of passing these days.
I hear you.
More photo ops than shooting ops for me, but.
All right. Well, give me, let's hear your most positive outdoor experience. I want to hear you with your family. We're going to be, we got about time for one more story, and I'd love to know, you know, what your most cherished outdoor memory is.
Oh, I have a lot. I'll just recap a few of them. Jacob's 170 plus 10 pointer last year. Jarrett's 166, I believe it was. Maybe it's 68. He'll probably be calling in real quick and tell me. 8 pointer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big 8 pointer. And the mushrooming, though, because we can bring the whole family.
Yeah.
You know, we go out, the boys, their wives. Last year, for the first time, I had a year-old grandson in a pack, and we were carrying him. Nana carried him most of the time. I carried him, and him picking mushrooms. But we had all, you know, 7 of us out there doing that, and you can do that as a more of a group. One of the girls is going to start deer hunting, though, so we're bringing them in. Just everything. I mean, there's just so many that I can't have one that there's just so many. The time Dad and I both limited out on deer, and he had both of his, unfortunately, were in Apple Creek, and I had to go swim for him. That was I had a buddy bring that story the other day. I remember you got in that water, and I'm, you know, it's 40 degrees, and yeah, you do that for your pop, you know?
Yeah.
And I had 2 up on the other side, and so then we went and got them, and just a lot of good memories. So I wish I could specify just one, but there's so many that I'd cheat myself by saying one. You
That's
know?
The
so.
Best possible thing. So, well, hey, you know, rest in peace, Goat. Thank you for, you know, for me personally, for leaving this line of men and people that we get to enjoy. And, you know, Luke, thanks for coming out and sharing that, you know, your experiences with your family and some of your experiences in the great outdoors.
Well, thanks for having me. And I enjoyed it and always like to talk about Pop and the family and hunting. So thank you very much.
Yeah.